Cold rain can dampen the spirits of those whose hearts are warmed by the presence of God. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End during this season of Advent. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we want to make you feel welcome. Our folks who are here week in and week out will seek you out and greet you and extend a hand of friendship. But if we don't get to you soon enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we would love for you to find your home here with this congregation. One way of doing that is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of opportunities listed in your bulletin insert. I'm going to mention a few. During the season of Advent, the Discourse and Discovery Sunday School class is combining with our young adult class, The Well, to study our Advent study, Blessed Monologues for Mary. If you don't belong to a Sunday school class, or if you're just interested in that particular study, you are welcome to come. They meet in 308. The Share the Gifts Market is in Reed Hall. I know you've seen some of the tables out here. Please stop by after the service. There are lots of ways that you can give a gift with a purpose and honor someone in your family. So please stop by on your way out of service. This afternoon at 4 p.m. here in the sanctuary, the chancel choir, under the direction of Don Marler, will be presenting music for the season. It'll be accompanied by brass. You can read more about the pieces that will be presented in your bulletin insert. But you get to hear this choir on Sunday morning. You will want to come back at 4, believe me. It will be a real observance of the Advent season that will touch your heart and inspire you. Also, next week, next Sunday, December 15th at 5:30, we have our candlelight service. This has been a custom of this congregation for over 70 years. The handbell choirs begin at 5:10. You may want to come early to hear them, and you may want to come early just to get a seat, because it tends to fill up pretty quickly. That's next Sunday, 5:30, the candlelight service. We will tell the story of the prophecy and birth of Jesus Christ, and we'll be doing that through congregational carols and also carols sung by the adult and children's choirs. So I know you'll want to be here for that. There is a card in your bulletin as part of the insert. This is not for you to keep, okay? This is for you to give to someone who may not know about the services listed on the back. It is the most non-threatening way you could ever invite someone to church, okay? So please, take it home with you. Don't leave it on the kitchen table. Don't put it up on the refrigerator. Give it to somebody. We expect large attendance for the candlelight service and the Christmas Eve services. So just a reminder, for those services, we are allowed to park in the Caterpillar Garage. You can entrance right off of West End. You can do that any Sunday. I park there every Sunday just to keep my car out of the way. But we are welcome to park in that garage for Sunday services, also for the candlelight service, also for our Christmas Eve services. For those of us who are young and vigorous like myself and who can walk, we need to save the places nearby for those folks who may need to be close by. So just a reminder to the compassionate. We are not just waiting, and we're not just watching. We are listening. And if we listen very carefully, we may just hear the best news we've ever heard.
Praise be to God.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has visited and redeemed the people.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
We light this second candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet of Isaiah.
The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
God is the witness to our lives, the one who sees all we do and fail to do, the one who hears what we say and fail to say. God is also the one who cleanses us, who makes us pure, who forgives us. Join me in our prayer of confession. Refining God,
it is not easy for us to admit we are not against you. We trust the promises of others, but have trouble believing the ones you have made. We find ourselves captive to emotions that stun us, but doubt you can save us. We prefer the shadowy streets of the world rather than walking in your light. Forgive us, faithful one. May the light of Christ show us your way. May the love of Christ overflow from our lives to others, and may the life of Christ be our model as we seek to be your people.
Do you feel it? God's tender mercy rests on you, heals you, and transforms you. Do you see it? God's light breaks into our lives and shows us the way. Renewed and made whole, we see the path God has prepared for us, the way of peace, the way of hope, the way of grace, the way of service. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join with me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. And then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." And the angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down, please come down and join us. We'd love to have you come sit with us. If you need to bring a parent with you, it's perfectly okay. Parents like stories too, I hear. Pastor Becky just read a story about a man named Zechariah who had an angel appear to him. Now, when we see angels on television or in books, we see them with halos and we see them with big wings and white robes. But quite frankly, the angel who appeared to Zechariah probably looked pretty much like anybody else he might meet. which might have been why he was so scared. Well, we have a special guest this morning. We have as our guest the angel that appeared to Zechariah to tell you that story. Angel, would you come join us?
Now, I startled Zechariah when I appeared there in the temple next to him.
But I told him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for I come with good news. The Lord God has heard your prayers, and your wife Elizabeth will soon have a son. You are to name him John. Both you and she will be overjoyed at his birth, and many people will celebrate with you. Your son John will be a great man of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from before his birth, and he will persuade many people to believe in God. He will grow up to be a man of rugged spirit and power like the prophet Elijah, and he will precede the coming of the Messiah, preparing the people for the arrival of their Lord by softening adults' hearts and making them like little children's. And so he will persuade people to believe in God." Poor Zechariah was so afraid when he heard this that he did not believe me. He told me that all of this was impossible. So I assured him that God had sent me with this good news and that everything I had said would come true at the proper time. But because he had not believed me, I told him that he was not allowed to speak again until his child was born.
Thank you, Angel. Well, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Wow. You know, just about anybody could be an angel, because an angel is just somebody who is a messenger of God, who tells us about God's love for us. And so, guess what? Anybody out there could be an angel. Anybody sitting up here or up there could be an angel. Whoever tells you about the love of God and how God is at work in their lives in this world, they're our angels, and they will probably not have wings and probably not be wearing white robes, and they probably won't have a halo, but that doesn't mean they're not an angel. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for sending angels to us all the time to speak to us of your love. Help us to become angels to others, to tell everyone, so that no one will be in any doubt that they are loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. If you looked at the little card in your bulletin insert to give away, that's not for you to keep. It's to give away, remember, to someone. And some of our other materials, you'll notice that our theme for Advent is "This Little Light of Mine." And I know you know the song, right? "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Well, you know, this fits really well with what we say is our vision, because we say that we are called to be the loving light of Christ, connecting people to God and to each other so that God can transform all of our lives. So to do that, we have to change the song just a little bit, because you see, it's not my little light that's shining. It's God's great light that's shining through me and you. Jonathan Carl last week, near the end of his sermon, provided an image that I would like to begin with today. He said, "The loving light of Christ won't be shared unless it flows through the ambient lens of you and me." That's how it gets shared. So this little light that we share, that is not ours, but if it isn't conducted through the ambient lens of us, people may not see it. Now, angels are those folks who are supposed to be conduits of God's light and love. They're messengers of God, right? And as I said before, we have this stereotypical image of an angel. Some of them are little cherubic angels, little chubby babies, you know, with wings, and others are people in long robes like this, and with halos and wings, but in the ancient world, that was not really the case. Zechariah and Elizabeth are both from priestly families. That means they're part of the aristocracy in Judea. Because he's from a priestly family, every now and again he has to go and serve at the temple. And that's chosen by lot, by chance. Although in the ancient world it was not considered chance. When you were chosen by lot, you were chosen by God. So Zechariah was chosen by God to serve at the temple during a particular time. He was chosen to go into an enclosed room that had the altar of incense to make sure the incense was burning and smoking. The room was filled with the smoke of the incense because in that day and time, the smoke rising from the incense signified our prayers rising to God. It was a very important role. So important that he was the only one who was supposed to be in that room. Only the priest was to be there. He's doing his work. He's making sure that everything is filled with smoke. This room filled with smoke, to any Jewish listener, would have reminded them of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and there too the room was filled with smoke. There too, there was an encounter with seraphim and cherubim who are frightening creatures. They are not sweet creatures at all. As he's doing his work, suddenly a figure appears out of the smoke. Well, thinking he's alone, not knowing who in the world could be hidden there or what their intentions are. Do they mean to rob him? Do they mean to kill him? Of course, he's terrified. He is absolutely terrified that someone else is in the room and approaching him out of the smoke of the incense. And so the first thing that the angel, who apparently looks like pretty much anybody else, says is, "Hey, don't be afraid. It's good news that I have for you. I'm not going to hurt you. I've come to tell you what God has planned for you. You and Elizabeth are going to have a child." Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth had no children. And it's interesting that in this story, Luke says that they were righteous people. They were observant Jews. They had kept all the commandments. There was absolutely no reason that she should be barren, although when women could not have children in that day and time, the disgrace fell on the woman, not the man. But Luke makes it very clear that she's done nothing at all that would justify her not having a child. Now, they're old by this time. I mean, good grief, they may be 40. Okay? I mean, when you start marrying at 12 and 13 and having kids, by the time you get to 40, you're ancient. Okay? I guess I identify a bit with Zechariah, you know, an old priest in a long robe, although I'm way past 40, with a beard, an older parent. He hears this news, and the angel says, not only will you have a child, but this child has been chosen by God for a special purpose. This child will drink no alcohol because this child from before birth will be drunk on the Holy Spirit. And when he's drunk on the Holy Spirit, we do not want people to get confused. His job is to turn the hearts of children back to their parents, turn the hearts of people who have turned away from God back to God, to prepare people for the Messiah who is here any day, any time. That will be his job. You will name him John. Although he'll be very much like Elijah, he will be named John. And I know that nobody in your family is named John, but don't let that bother you. That's his name, chosen by God. Zechariah is still a bit shaken by all this, obviously, because he says, now, how am I supposed to believe you? How am I supposed to know this is going to happen? It's kind of like somebody giving you medical advice, and you say, why should I trust you? They say, well, I'm a doctor. Or legal advice, why should I trust you? Well, I'm an attorney. Counsel, well, why should I trust you? Well, I'm a licensed counselor. So what the angel does is he provides his certification, his credentials. He says, I am Gabriel. That name immediately would indicate that this was a messenger of God. There were typical names assigned to the angels of that time, messengers of God, Gabriel being one of them. So he offers his credential, says, you can believe me, I'm Gabriel, but because you didn't, you are going to be unable to speak until everything that I've told you has happened. Now, when he comes out, when Zechariah comes out, it's pretty clear to everybody that something has happened. He can't speak, so he's gesturing to try to tell them things, and they realized he's had a vision of some kind. What they don't realize that he does is that he's not going to be able to speak for the rest of his time of service at the temple until they conceive a child, and then for the 9 months that they will wait for the birth of that child. We don't know how long, how many months he was unable to speak, which, though it was a problem for him, may have been a gift to Elizabeth. I know it would be around our house if the power of speech were taken away from me for a few months. Margaret would probably celebrate, actually. But the thing about it is, because he could not speak, he was forced to listen. The first thing I want to talk to you about in this Advent, on this second Sunday of Advent, is that we are called to listen. I know we talk about watching and waiting, and that's important too. But listening is not something we're very good at doing. I don't know about you, but often when I'm in conversation with somebody, I'm acting like I'm listening. I'm smiling and I'm nodding, and the whole time I'm forming what I'm going to say in return. Okay? I'm not really listening. I'm going to suggest to you that listening, the way Zechariah had to do it, was a discipline. First of all, we have to keep our mouths shut. We have to be quiet. Now, Zechariah had some help with that, obviously. We don't, but we can choose. We can listen without judgment, without feeling the need to console necessarily, to simply be a presence that can open up and hear the other person share whatever it is they need to share. Sometimes those are words of hurt. Sometimes those are words of joy. Sometimes those are words of anger. But simply to listen and receive those, that is a discipline, and it's a very difficult discipline, it seems to me. Secondly, I think listening is an art form as well. Several weeks ago, I mentioned the rule of Saint Benedict, written 1,500 years ago, but I think just as fresh and applicable today as it was then in many ways. It began with the word listen. I mentioned that. But it continues. The first sentence of the rule is, listen with the ear of the heart. That's a different kind of listening. That's a deeper kind of listening. It's not just listening to the words that are said, it's listening to what is unsaid. It's listening to that current of feeling that moves under and around and above those words. In theater, we call that subtext. When you're preparing a character, you read the words, but sometimes characters don't say what they mean. And even when they do say what they mean, you have to hunt sometime for the emotion that flows under that, that flows around it. To listen with the ear of the heart means to listen in a deep way. To listen in a way that opens you up to that other person. I don't know about you, but we as pastors often have people come to us to open their hearts. My guess is, as followers of Jesus, you have people come to you to open their hearts occasionally. And often they don't want answers. They want someone to listen. They don't necessarily want solutions. They want to be heard, really heard. That's listening with the ear of the heart, and it's an art form. It really is. Finally, I think listening is an act of love. Now, I didn't coin that phrase. This comes from StoryCorps. You may be familiar with that on public radio. Dave Isay put together little booths around the country, and people could go in and interview friends, family members. Just ask them questions. Just talk. Let them tell their story. Sometimes people who had lived together for 40 years or known each other all of their lives learned things they had never heard before. Because you see, listening with the ear of the heart is an act of love. They collected some of these and published them under that title. If we are to share the loving light of Christ, if we are to be that ambient lens, one of the ways that we open for the light to flow through is by listening, by taking time to be quiet, to set the judgment aside, to let go of the need to prepare our rebuttal. Because you see, we are called to do that kind of listening not just to the people we love and agree with. We are called to do that especially with the people with whom we may have profound disagreements, with those people we may not even like to be around, with those people who have no one else to listen to them because no one else is interested, or like the angel, they frighten people when they approach. That's the kind of listening that we are called to do this Advent as part of our preparation, as part of our listening. When we do that, we become transparent to the light of God, which is our calling. After all, to simply let God's love shine through us in such a way that others can experience it, especially those who may have been told they are unlovable, who may have been told they don't belong, who may have been told that everybody else can be forgiven but they can't, who may have felt as if they have been pushed away. That is our calling, not just in Advent, but at all times and in all places. So, my friends, if we haven't, let's begin today to listen with the ear of the heart. Thanks be to God. One of the ways we express that love of God is through retelling the story of our faith, and our creeds and affirmations allow us to do that. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and let's tell this story together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We are so glad you came to worship with us this rainy morning. I'd like to let you know of a few things going on in Reed Hall through the doors to your right. If you're a first-time visitor, please visit the Bread for the Journey table, where you can receive a small loaf of bread and find out more ways to be involved. Also in Reed Hall, as you heard, was the Alternative Gift Market. Please visit some of those tables. And there's also a table to learn about covenant discipleship groups, small accountability groups searching for ways to live as disciples. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll see a gray card. On that, you can write prayer requests on one side, and the other side, you can write comments for staff and lay leadership. Please put that in the offering plate as it goes by. Our faithful giving campaign has had a wonderful journey, and so also, if you have not turned in your faithful giving pledge card, please also turn that in during the offering. We turn our hearts towards our joys and concerns. We rejoice with three families this morning who have new little ones in their lives. The first is Griffin Richard Pebbles. He was born November the 13th to Anna and Rob Pebbles. The second little one is Lucy B. Presley. She was born November the 23rd to Patty B. and Kempton Presley. She's also welcomed by her brother, Kemp Presley. The third is Madeline Lee Norstead. She was born November the 29th to Stephanie and Lee Norstead. Madeline is welcomed by her big brother, Eric. We also want to turn our hearts towards prayer and remembrance with the following families. Dr. Robert Denver Collins died November the 28th. Among his survivors are his wife, Elizabeth Kate Collins. Services will be held at West End here on January the 18th. Polly Jennings is mourning the death of her father. His name is Charles Cooper, and he died December the 4th. Now let us move our hearts towards prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, you keep us waiting. You, the God of all time, want us to wait for the right time in which to discover who we are, where we must go, who will be with us, and what we must do. Thank you for the waiting time. You keep us looking. You, the God of all space, want us to look in the right and the wrong places for signs of hope, for people who are hopeless, for visions of a better world which will appear among the disappointments of the world we know. Thank you for the looking time. You keep us loving. You, the God whose name is love, want us to be like you, to love the loveless and the unlovely, and the unlovable, to love without jealousy or design or threat, and most difficult of all, to love ourselves. Thank you for the loving time. And in all this, you keep us. Through the hard questions with no easy answers, through failing where we hoped to succeed, and making an impact where we felt we were useless, through the patience and the dreams and the love of others, and through Jesus Christ and his Spirit, you keep us. Thank you for the keeping time, and for now, and forever. As we spend time waiting, keeping, loving this Advent, we recall the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. During this time of Advent where we're listening, loving, keeping, we offer not only our monetary gifts, but our whole lives to God.
Now I send you forth to listen with the ears of the heart, receiving and sharing the loving light of Christ wherever you go, knowing that God, the source of all light and love, Jesus Christ, God's light and love, walking with us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to become transparent to that light and love, will be with you today, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.
Amen.